This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, much of Hollywood has been idle for the last 13 weeks because of the writer's strike. And with that strike being settled, we will talk to one of the guys whose job it is to get that engine going again.
First to Colombia in South America and a simmering conflict that has serious ramifications in this country. U.S. aid has helped the Colombian government make gains against the guerrillas there, but Colombia continues to struggle with the other side of unrest, how to hold paramilitary groups accountable.
That's the case with one town where right-wing death squads beat 27 men to death in 2001. As NPR's Juan Ferreira reports, investigators have since learned the military collaborated.
One night before dawn, 80 paramilitary fighters destroyed this town in the Maria Mountains of northern Colombia, killing villagers with a cruelty calculated to terrorize the population. As was the norm in Colombia, the paramilitaries accused villagers of sympathizing with Marxist guerrillas who'd been fighting the state since the 1960s. The paramilitaries have since disarmed, at least officially, and a few of the families that fled have returned. On a recent day, a bagpiper and drummer played Amazing Grace to honor the dead. And a puppet show, in which reconciliation was the main theme, was staged for the children. Then the victims' relatives, all of them wearing T-shirts that read Never Again, received a small bush to plant in the name of loved ones. All of this was organized by Colombia's Navy, whose Marines patrol the region. But what was plainly missing was justice. Only one low-level paramilitary fighter has been convicted. Marco Oviedo Merino lost relatives in the massacre and barely escaped with his own life.
Maybe the war machine has stopped, but that doesn't justify that of all the paramilitary groups from the Maria Mountains, only one guy has been convicted.
What investigators have learned from the testimony of paramilitary commanders is that paramilitary fighters received arms from two Navy sergeants. Then they set off to this town unmolested as the trucks that carried them rumbled through the surrounding hills. Police Captain Jaime Gutierrez, once head of a garrison in the region, saw what was happening that night in 2001 and tried to warn superiors in the military. He's now a government witness living in the capital, Bogotá.
They could have blocked their path since the Marines had personnel close to Chengue.
Human rights groups say Chengue is a microcosm of what's happened in myriad cases of paramilitary crimes. Often the military collaborated. In special judicial hearings, former paramilitary commanders are required to testify about their crimes in exchange for leniency. And many have, outlining atrocities ranging from dismembering victims to carrying out thousands of murders. Still, no one has been convicted, and as is the case of Chengue, no high-ranking military officer has been jailed. Maria McFarland tracks Colombia for Human Rights Watch.
The problem is impunity. It's, to some extent, a lack of capacity, but more often it seems to be a lack of political will to actually push forward these investigations.
Prosecutors say investigating thousands of crimes takes time. Luis Gonzalez heads a special unit of nearly 300 prosecutors, investigators, and other staff working on paramilitary crimes.
We're going slow, but we're going to do a methodical job that permits us to get results.
At a ceremony in Chengue, Vice Admiral Edgar Selly told residents the Navy felt their pain and that the criminals should pay for their crimes. The people here do express support for the new Navy leadership, and they say they feel safer. And there's a semblance of normalcy, at least on a recent morning, as a pickup game of soccer kept a group of boys busy. But Juan Barreto lost six relatives in the massacre. He said what the town still needs is justice. Juan Ferrero, NPR News, Chengue, Colombia.